Fantastic. As you can see, we've got 22 flags out here. This represents probably not all of them, but once again, this is the efforts of somebody who went out to our nations and preached the Word of God. And they went out there and went forward. And we can see Atlanta Opportunities. There's a PowerPoint that I put up with just a lot of different websites and organizations that have opportunities where we can participate. We have people like Jacob's Ladder, who helps the children with mental disease and cerebral palsy, Down syndrome. We have organizations like Kate's Club, who helps the children and the teens to cope with the loss of a parent due to cancer. We have an organization called 1billiondrops.org, and what they do is they log all the different activities, humanitarian, spiritual, all the different activities where they're going out and doing something for somebody else. There's a group of people sacrificing their time, their money, their energy, and they're going over somewhere to bless somebody who has a need. There's organizations that like charitywater.org, where he used to work with the Doctors Without Borders, and he started seeing the need as he was going out. He started seeing the need of all these villages that don't even have clean water to drink. And there's so many diseases that come up with this. And so what we're seeing, what the Lord's telling us right now, is that we need a focus far beyond ourselves. We need to focus far beyond ourselves. It's a habit sometimes when we get cut or we get hurt a little bit and we start looking at our injury and we start pondering about our injury and we're thinking so much about ourselves and our injury that we fail to see what someone right next to us needs. You see, when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, that's exactly what we did. We gave our life to Jesus Christ. It is no longer I who live. In Galatians, Paul said it like this: For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now have in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. We have organizations like Compassion International that helps the local churches in all these various different countries to help feed the poor and to bring them in, to feed them and clothe them and educate them and teach them about the Word of God. And we have all these different places that there's literally no excuse for each and every one of us to be able to go out and be the hands and feet of God. Now, this morning I'm speaking to those who have given their life over to Jesus Christ and who no longer live, but now Christ lives through us. So if you haven't reached that point, if you haven't reached that point where you know you don't know whether or not you'll be going to heaven at the end of this life, or if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the first step. That's number one. We can do all the help we want. We can do all the deeds we want. We can go out and help every organization. But if we've never accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our personal Savior, and given up our life to Him, there's only one answer, and the Word calls it hell. There is a hell. There is a place that's worse than this place. And that's why Jesus Christ came and gave us the opportunity. And it's not by works. We can do all the works we want. It's not by works, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, assuming you've taken that step into faith in Jesus Christ, now there's the next step. Because we've given our life over to Him. Now we are to be His hands and feet. I don't know why God made it that way, but people who are in need, they cry out to God. They say, Lord, please help me in this sickness. Please help me have water to drink. And God hears this, He puts it in His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit comes into us. We call ourselves Spirit-filled Christians. What's a Spirit-filled Christian? Is that someone who can jump and have all the excitement and all this? That doesn't make you spirit-filled, even though when you are, that happens. And that doesn't mean just because I run around or do this that I'm spirit-filled, even though that happens. What spirit-filled means is that we hear and we are led by the Holy Spirit of God. That means we are in tune and we are filled with the Spirit. We ask the Spirit to fill us. He moves on us and he tells us things of what to do. He guides us. Everything from the offering, how much offering are you should be given? That's led by the Spirit. It's not by the law. Who should I help? That's led by the Spirit. And that's why we call ourselves Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, because we have made a commitment that we will listen to the Spirit of God. And it's that Spirit who makes things work. And he allows us to come into there. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, he puts it like this. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He's saying, don't worry about anything. Yes, they're real. Yes, we have issues. Yes, we have a life where we got problems. But he's saying, trust me. Present them to me. Trust me. Give them up to me. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's saying, trust me. Give me your issues. Give me your problems. Give me your needs. I'll take care of them. I'll take care of them. Don't worry about it. I got it. What I need you to do, my child, is listen to the Spirit and go help others who don't know that God that we know. There's people out there who don't know where to turn to. They might in exasperation, oh, God, help me. But they don't know who they're talking to, and they're not talking with his faith. And God in his mercy still hears them, and he still calls us. He says, go talk to him. I want to get to know this guy. I want him to get to know me. And he sends them off. But why do we get sent? Why? By the Spirit of God. It's what you know in your heart is the right thing to do. What you feel in your heart is the right thing to do. In Matthew chapter 6, he says it like this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. These are the deeds we do. Not for salvation. We're already saved. By the grace of God, salvation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness of our sins. But now that we're there, now he says, store up your treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, there is your heart also. And then that's what he jumps over later on in verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about trying to accumulate all these things. Don't worry about spending your life trying to gather as much treasure as you can. That's not our purpose. This is not our world. That's not the purpose of God. TCAC, the purpose of our church, is to be that light in the hill, is to go out to the community and be that hope and be that voice and be that action. We are here to help them. God will take care of us. God's taking care of us. He's blessing us. He's given us, he's got plans, great plans for us, that the ball's already rolling. He says, don't worry about what's going on. I need you to go out there and go help those who don't know me yet. And those are the ones that we can help. Those are the ones you can speak up and offer some help. That's what it means for us to not live our life, but to Christ lives in us. It's no longer me and I. But God will take care of my wounds. God will take care of my hurts. God will take care of my doubts. He'll take care of my fears. That's the done deal. We already asked them. Now we can rest in this perfect rest in unity with them. You see, it's all about trusting in God, being able to trust in God. There's a guy named Scott Harrison. He's the one that started up that charity of water. And I have a video. Diane, if you go ahead and start. I have a video that talks a little bit about his work.
Signed up for a second tour, and On that second tour, I got off the ship and I started traveling around in the rural areas and even to other countries, and I saw dirty water for the first time. I had never seen a human being drink dirty water in my life. Water for me cost $10. It was called Voss. We would sell it in clubs to people who wouldn't even open it. And as I traveled around, I saw human beings drinking from ponds and from rivers, sources that I wouldn't let my dog walk in. Met this girl, Hawa, 13-year-old girl, realized for the entirety of her life, she had never known any other water to drink, to bathe, to cook with than this pond. So I'm back and forth with the villages and I'm in surgery and I'm telling the doctors what I'm seeing and they're like, yeah, we know. So much disease in the world is caused by bad water. Why don't you go work on that issue? So I start traveling around learning about this. I learned that 663 million people right now, 1/10 of the world, is going to drink, they're all going to drink bad water today, simply because of the conditions they've been born into. By no choice of their own, any more than we got to choose where we were born, 1/10 of the planet is risking their lives every day with unsafe water. Now, we look at statistics like this and our minds just kind of go numb. Can't imagine 663 million anything, let alone people without water. But in that are just people with names and hopes and dreams. And as you can imagine, there are a lot of diseases associated with bad water. Many you have heard of in this room. You've all heard of cholera. You've all heard of E. coli. Maybe you haven't heard of schistosomiasis. It's a fancy word for worms. Parasites. A couple hundred million people have worms crawling around in their body because of the water they've had to drink. The World Health Organization says that 52% of all disease throughout the developing world is caused by bad water and lack of toilets. Half the people that are sick in these countries don't need to be sick. They just have this basic need met. This child was drinking from the Molo River in northern Kenya, and every time she would drink from this bottle, she would vomit on her shirt. I remember watching in horror with a few friends, and we took the water away from her. We promised to try to find a solution for her village. But I wanted to know what was actually in the water, and I took this bottle back to New York, and I gave it to friends at a lab, and I said, would you put this under a microscope? They sent me this video of that water. And I remember, you know, in their estimation, they said, look, we're not experts in all the different kinds of amoebas and parasites, but you sent us water that is alive. No one should be drinking water like this. Leeches are a huge problem. We would travel to communities and the women would pull the leeches out of the water and say, look, this is a big problem for us. We always can seem to pull the big ones out, but sometimes these little leeches will get through the cloth that we're pouring the water through our scarves, through our t-shirts. And they grow up inside our bodies and they grow up inside our children's bodies and they crawl up and stick to the back of the throat. And if you're a parent and you're dealing with this, you have two options. One is to take a stick and to try to pry the leech. But if you don't kill it, it just crawls up again. And the second is to give your child a little bit of diesel fuel. Just enough to scald the leech, and hopefully not enough to injure your child.
These are real people that are going through this situation right now. These are real people, real lives, and it's so easy for us to help them out. What I like about this organization is 100% of all donations go for this project of digging wells. They get their administrative costs out on another area, but 100% of our donations go to help out in just solving that cause. In the world, poverty means that a family of four makes less than $37 a month. 1.3 billion people live like this. Nearly half the world's population, 3 billion, make less than $75 a month. Now, I know in your mind you can probably say, well, yeah, it only costs a penny to buy a piece of bread, or their cost of living is like that. No, it's totally different. It still costs the same to build a well. It still costs the same to build a school, and they don't have that. Poverty in Honduras means whether or not you keep your crippled child. When we went down over there to the orphanage, we took some balls and we're playing soccer. And when I saw this little girl carrying her brother, little girl must have been about 10 years old. The brother was already about 4 or 5 years old. And we motioned her, said, "Come on, let's play soccer." And so we called her over. So she walks over here with her brother. And I said, "No, you know," Blanca goes over there and says, "Here, let me help you with your brother." And Blanca's trying to hold the baby, the little boy, and the little girl would not let her. And she just clung onto that. She just, "No, no, 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 no." And I asked the story of her. I asked one of the ladies, "What's her story?" This little boy was born with a bad leg, a missing leg, or a bad leg, deformed leg. And when the mother gave birth to him and saw that the leg was deformed, she wrapped him up in swaddling clothes and took him out to the forest and laid him down and walked away. The 5-year-old little sister, thank God, was around. And she goes, "Mom, what are you doing?" He goes, "We can't take care of him." Go, "But Mom, you can't just leave him there." The mother tells her, "If you want to stay with him, you stay with him, but don't you come back home." So the 5-year-old little girl had enough sense to grab the baby and walk to the village, find the orphanage, and that's where we saw her. And she will not let go of her little brother. She just clings on to him. That's poverty. That's poverty. We see poverty sometimes when we can't buy that third car. Or, doggone it, I only get to eat out once a week instead of 3 times a week. These are things, these are people who are in need, people who can see something. I have another story, and this one has a good ending, of this child. I'm sorry, that's the next one. Of the next video of Compassion International. This is what they do.
When I was 5 years old, my dad broke his leg and he couldn't work. We didn't have money for food. I was very scared. Near our home, bad people would be out at night and there was always trash everywhere. I felt like no one cared about me and I didn't matter. When I was 9, one of my neighbors told me about Compassion. I didn't know what it was about, but I liked it because I received a lot of help. I was fed there at the church, and I learned how to take care of myself. I learned that I was special and that God loved me and that He had a plan for my life. And I learned that I could ask Jesus into my heart, and when I did, I was so happy. I was waiting to get a letter from my sponsor, and when it finally came, I felt very happy and special. They were very loving in their letters. They loved me so much, even though we never met in person. At 15, I remember being so thankful for my sponsors and everything they did for me. I will remember them until the last day of my life. Without their help, my life would be so different. All I can say is thank you for so much love that showed me God's love. Now I know I have value, and I know I have a future.
My name is Hilda. This is my story.
poverty in Jesus' name.
This child,
that child is waiting for you.
This child's life was changed with just $35 a month that she found a sponsor and someone to help her out. This is just one of the many opportunities that something small that we can do on our blessed world and way of living. These are things that we can do on just coming out. Let me bring it a little bit closer. In Georgia, the poverty level is someone who makes less than $2,500 a month. In Rockdale County, 16.5% of the people who live in Rockdale County are under the poverty level. That makes 14,000 lives are under the poverty level and need help eating, feeding their children. In Newton County, 3,300 families live in poverty. 1,750 families make less than $800 a month. In our society here, why should we care? Matthew 25 says, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit in his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him and will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. He will put the sheep on his right and the goat on his left. Then the king will say to those, come, all of you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Now then the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did you see us? We see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison? And the king replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me. You know me, I'm usually giving an upbeat, excited, encouraging message. And I had to ask the Lord twice. But this message is a reality message. People are feeling this right now at this moment. I forgot my water and I'm sitting dry, and it just reminds me of, I could just imagine if I had no water to drink. But these are things that we can do. We can make a difference. We must make a difference. It's easy for us to make a difference. It's so simple for us to make a difference. All we have to do is just call out to God and say, Lord, use me. That's it. And he'll pour in your spirit. He'll give you the seed to sow. He'll put in your spirit of what it is for you that you need to do. The first thing is awareness. And that's what I'm trying my best right now, to bring awareness to everybody, remind everybody of what's going on out there. This world is not as big as it seems. It is so simple to send some money to any of these organizations. There's hundreds of them. Ask God which one. There's hundreds of them. The next thing is pray. What is it that God wants us to do? What are we praying? We need to ask the Lord. Oh, he answered prayer for the water too. Thank you, Lord. What is it that we need to do? We can pray about it. Supporting the church is another thing we can do about it. Your tithes, your offering, your gifts, your time, your energy, as you give to this church is going out and working with some of these missions and working with some of these entities. We need to be out there and go deliver some clothes to these kids who are starting school who don't have any. But we need the support the financial support of each and every one of us to pitch in so that we can get those clothes, so that we can go do our job. We need the support to the church so that we can so we can get these things and go to our neighborhoods. So supporting the church is the number one right here, so we can go out to Rockdale County and Newton County and help these people and be what the church is called to be, the light, the hope for the hopeless. That's who we are. But we need to bring in the support here to make that happen, because unfortunately it does take cash. This is what God has called us to do. We need your support to reach out to one of these organizations. And look, it's $30 a month, $20 a month. If you look on that charitywater.org, they got it's really neat. Check them up, please, on the internet. And they give all ideas of how people have raised money. They're showing little children, 10 years old, that are doing lemonade stands. These kids, another idea, they were donating their birthdays. So they said they wrote out a letter to all their friends. It's my birthday. But Uncle Lance, instead of bringing me presents, please bring a gift and donate to this organization. And they're raising money. Little kids are giving up, adults giving up their time. If you can go, go. It's amazing when you get out there and you see them. You can hold that person. You can hug them. You can wipe their tears. You can tell them about the love of Jesus. It's amazing. I'm hooked on it. It's wonderful getting out there. But if you can't, if God has not put that in your calling, support someone who can. There's organizations. If you cannot go dig a well in South Africa, give to an organization that can. In other words, you can make a difference. And God sees it and he knows it. Ben and Tara Wood, their daughter Mariah is raising money to go to Africa. And if you can't go, help her out. That's right here in the house. If you can't, we're doing mission trips. We're trying to organize these mission trips so that we can go, but we need everybody's help. We need everybody's help. My brothers and sisters, the Lord has put this so heavy on my heart, personally on our heart. It's been on our heart. This is what our calling is, to go out and help with these people that need the help. But I need your help to help them. I need your prayers. I need your support. I need you to let's come together as a church and be that body. Let's be that support. Let's be that light on the hill. Let's be that salt of the earth. Let's be everything that God has created us to be. When we can look beyond ourselves, we can look beyond ourselves and see more than who we are. We don't need to lick our wounds any longer. God's got it. He's bringing in the people. The people are loving. And as we go out to this community and we become a difference in this area, he will bring in more people. We need to jump in with both feet. We need to jump in with both feet. And I'm asking you to support us in prayer. Support us in prayer. Let's join together, hand in hand, lock arms. Let's do this cause. The Lord is bringing different ideas, different thoughts. He's told us to look with our spirit eyes, to look what he's about to do and what he's doing. And we've done that. He's asked us to call upon his name and get into prayer. We had the most amazing prayer this morning. I'm still floating. I mean, we had an amazing prayer this morning. The Holy Spirit just was there. It was an amazing time. And so we're being obedient. Now the Lord's saying, let's look out. Let's look out and go and be effective in our community. This isn't just a show where we can come on Sundays. This is an opportunity for you to be the hands and feet of God, for you to make a difference in a child's life, for you to make a difference where somebody gains hope for the hopeless, where we can just tell them, if you're not comfortable going out there and witness, support someone who will. But let's all get together and do our part. What is your part? Pray and ask God. He knows. And then please be obedient and do it. If you want to be used by God Almighty, if you want to be used, if you want a purpose, you want to be trained and you want a purpose of something to do, and you can make a difference in people's lives. And if you want to do that, pray with me this prayer. Just ask God to use us. Let's stand up, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father, so clearly as that last worship song, "Use Me." Father, hear the many voices. We all ask you to use us, Father. Hear the many voices asking you to use us. Use us as a church. Use us as an individual. Use our family to be a difference in the neighborhood. Dear Father, use us. Tell us what to do. Dear Father, I trust that you will bring us seed. The excuse isn't, well, I don't have anything to give, Father. You give to us. We ask that you give us the seed to sow, Father. Give us the word. Give us the nickel. Give us the shirt. Give us the arm to hug and hold. Give us the courage to just say God loves you. Dear Father, give us the courage. Use us, Father. I ask that you speak to everyone individually, Father. Tell them how they can be used, Father. Holy Spirit, I ask that you move in their heart and just envelop. This is not about emotions. This is not about any kind of pulling heartstrings, because that's going to finish up as soon as we have a great luncheon and everything's over this afternoon, and those feelings will pass. But Father, of the feelings I ask that you burn in our soul is our obedience to you. What do we do for you? What do you want us to do, Father? We can pray for them here at home. We can go out there to where they are, minister to them. We can help support somebody who's going out there. There's so many organizations, we don't even have to reinvent the wheel. We can just support one of these organizations. Dear Father, whatever it is that you have pulled in our heart, whatever cause, dear Father, give us the easiness, the simplicity to be able to step up and reach someone outside our walls, outside our world. I thank you for whoever that person was that ministered each one of these 22 nations. Whoever that person was, whoever that church was, Lord, if they're still alive, I ask you to bless them, Father. Lord, if they're with you, I ask you to bless their descendants. You promised the blessings from generation to generation. And as we step up when we do things, I thank you for blessing our children and our children's children, because they can see compassion. They can see integrity. They can see obedience of their parents. And Father, I thank you and I ask you these things, Father. Oh Lord, if there's anybody in need here, Father, reveal it to us, Father. Let us help them. Give them the courage to raise their hand and to let someone know that they need help. However big and small, Father, we're here to help each other in this room. We're here to help each other in this community. Father, we're here to help each other in this world. We just ask you to use us and tell us what to do. Just tell us, Lord. We're here. We thank you, Father.